A lot of pieces seem to be in place for another big year two jump for Hugh Freeze.
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off. And you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fine.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Wednesday. Hopefully this show gets you over the hump and gets you ready for the weekend. Going to talk a little bit of Hugh Freeze history and the pieces that seem to be have fallen in place over this past offseason to be primed for another year two jump that Hugh seems to be his trademark. So we'll talk deeper into that. But before we get started, you know, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. You need to check him out at retirementresults.com/plan. Things you can get for your big jump in your savings and in your retirement. Free portfolio analysis, retirement income gap analysis, Social Security maximization report, and a financial plan all the way to your 95th birthday, absolutely free by checking him out at retirementresults.com/plan. Take charge of your savings. Take charge of your retirement. Get you a roadmap to success. And Ford Stokes is a guy. He's a big Auburn fan, too. I know he's primed to hear the guys at SEC Media Days and is excited. Make a friend at the same time. Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Hugh Freeze has a little bit of a brand. Okay, his brand has always been, I come in, I take over, and I have quick success. And high level quick success at a lot of places. And I think there's a lot of similar characteristics of what he's done elsewhere that I think could possibly translate to Auburn having a big jump in success in year two as well. But before, I don't like just saying blanket statements. Let's look at it. Let's look at what he's done. I mean, if you take a look at his coaching career, the evidence is right there. The evidence is right there. His very first coaching job at a private college at Lambeth, he goes from, I believe, like an eight-win season to a 10-11-win season in year two. That was his very first coaching job. From there, he goes to Arkansas State as an offensive coordinator. And I'm looking at their record right now, and I believe Arkansas State won four games as him being the offensive coordinator. And then he takes over his second year being there as head coach, goes 10-3, 8-0, wins the conference, and goes to a bowl game. I think one of their very first bowl game. I think that maybe their second ever. Year two, quick success, quick turnaround. And has a lot of success at Arkansas State, and then parlays that into the Ole Miss job. Ole Miss, you got to be very judicious when you look at their record, because you know they got slapped on the wrist with the fake vacating wins penalty that nobody but Wikipedia keeps track of, I guess. So you go to Ole Miss, and you know, you go from the year prior, you take over, you're 2-10, and then you go 7-6, and then you go to 8-5. You get better in year two again, all the way up till year four, where you win 10 games. So continually gets better at the longer he's at a program. You go to Liberty, one of the very first seasons that he's, I think the second season ever, that they're an FBS program. He takes over, they go 8-5, and then the next year they go 10-1. So he comes into an Auburn situation that is in possibly the lowest it's been since maybe the Barfield era, back in the 80s, before Pat Dye took over. And it took Pat Dye a little bit. It took Pat Dye, you know, his third season was whenever he really started to take Auburn to the next level and then really go on his run. But I would say this is the lowest point of Auburn football recent history. Again, you'd have to go all the way back to the 80s. Even 1998, 1999, those 2 years were rough. But Tommy, they weren't as – you still recruited okay in some spots. You had some talent. And then Tommy Tober was able to, in the second year, get to the SEC championship. So this is without a doubt – when you couple in the beginning of the portal, the NIL, and all this stuff, the roster that he took over was just absolutely decimated, completely decimated. And he was able to at least salvage some things. And I think he made a calculated gamble with the taking himself out of the play calling and the game planning situation to help rebuild this roster, because I mean, you're talking, you know, you were talking low, very low end of the SEC as far as SEC talent goes on the roster. You had some high spots. You had some guys that were high end SEC players, but you didn't have enough of them. You just had a handful of them, and he had to do a ton of work, lost a ton of players. You have to change the culture as well. I mean, I'm not going to go into specifics, but I mean, everybody remembers some of the rumors that came out of some of your leaders, a lot of the leaders, some, you know, videos and scandals and things like that, that you don't want your leaders to be involved with. You had some of that stuff come out. You had some suspensions. You just had to really, I mean, you're talking dark, dark era of Auburn football that Hugh has taken over. And he goes in and, you know, you have some success against some of your rivals. You're a couple of plays away from knocking your rivals off in year one with those terrible rosters. I just don't think people realize how bad of a roster it actually was. And then to be able to take Georgia to the limit, take Alabama to the 4th and 31. I understand there was some deflation with, you know, New Mexico State, and there's some other stuff that seemed like you had some opportunities to win a few more games, but still, I think everything that we've done, everything that Hugh's done since he's been here has been leading to the table being set from a scheduling standpoint, from a roster standpoint. You've sort of beefed up all the areas that you were deficient in. I think you're possibly primed. I mean, to think you're going to see another trademark year two bounce back, year two jump, from a team, from a record standpoint, for Hugh Freeze. I mean, you got to feel confident when you look at his resume that this is it's not necessarily a 4, 5, 6 year build. I mean, you should be expecting at least some level of success, some level of a jump this year to years prior. And I don't really see any evidence otherwise. I think we're sort of. You look at the schedule and you look at what we've got. I think you could possibly see I don't want to say possibly. It's hard to not almost guarantee that you'd see a fair amount more success than you did last year. And we'll talk about what that could look like in the future. But not only one of the pieces that he's always had, when I talk about all these different things, all these different places he's been, one consistent piece that he's had everywhere he's been is a returning quarterback in year two. A lot of people frowned on rolling back with Peyton Thorne. A lot of people, okay? A lot of fans, a lot of media pundits, a lot of writers, and I'm going to assume other coaches probably looked at it and looked at it in a vacuum, not really in detail, and really turned their head a little bit. Hey, I don't know that doesn't make a ton of sense, but every single place he's been, he's had a returning quarterback in year two, and he's had success. Now, you look at you go to Arkansas State. Ryan Applin got better under his second year. He goes from throwing for, you know, 29, just under 3,000 yards to almost 3,600 yards, completing more passes. Got better. Arkansas State got better. They won more games, a lot more games. Returning quarterback right there, okay? Then you move on to Ole Miss and Bo Wallace. Bo Wallace came in from a JUCO. I think there were some stories he possibly could have been at Arkansas State too at one point in time, but he came in from a JUCO. threw for just under 3,000 yards year one under Hugh Freeze. Comes back year two, throws for over 3,300 yards. Completes more passes again. Has a really big year, and Ole Miss was dangerous that year. I don't know if you remember, they came in with a lot of hype into Jordan Hare, and that was the year Gus went on his run. But I mean, you go from Ole Miss was maybe in a worse situation, maybe an even worse situation in Auburn. I think they had won like two conference games in 3 or 4 years. Like it was dark. And then in year two, Bo Wallace in year two under Hugh Freeze makes a big jump as a quarterback and becomes a real threat. I'm just going to say, I love Bo Wallace, but physically not very gifted. From an arm strength standpoint, from a athletic standpoint, not very gifted. But year two quarterbacks under Hugh Freeze seem to make big jumps as well. And then the big one, you know, Malik Willis, former Auburn player, goes to Liberty in 2020 is his first year as a starter. Even though their record was better in 2020, Malik had a substantially better year in year two. 2,800 goes up from 2,200 yards passing to 2,800 yards passing. Bit way more touchdowns thrown, 20 to 27. And I think he even had, you know, they had about the same amount of rushing yards each year. But again, year two quarterbacks get better under Hugh Freeze. So I don't have a problem as much when you go back and you really look at the track record. It seems like year two quarterbacks, Peyton Thorne having another year under his belt with Hugh Freeze, it's hard to point to something. It's hard to point to another situation where there hasn't been some level of increased play getting better. And I think, you know, I understand the decision to not call plays. And I do think it sort of set the development of Peyton back. So I don't know if you have just a completely traditional year two jump that you would have had Hugh been running the offense for 2 years. But I still think being in Auburn, being around Hugh, understanding what he wants out of his quarterback position and just being – tutored by him for the second year, I think is still going to be something that's very, very beneficial with Hugh Freeze. And again, the track record's there. So I think that you could see once you really dig into that, it really makes a lot of sense why you would keep Peyton for another year. And then there's the whole NIL aspect as well that we could go into for a whole show, but just when you strictly look at what year two quarterbacks do under Freeze, it makes a ton of sense that you make the decision to keep Peyton and then roll with it. Keep building the culture. That's another Peyton's sort of built into the culture. He's one of your faces of media day. He's your guy. You believe in him. You've said, "I believe in him." I don't know how many times since the end of the year. Since the bowl loss, you digested the bowl loss and you know, really analyzed everything. You couldn't have been more clear that you believe in Peyton Thorne. And you know, when you couple that into with his resume, it looks like this could be another reason for a year two jump for the Auburn Tigers. Now, what does that look like? Okay, what is a year two jump? Now, master of the book, whatever you want to call it. I will book hard at the drop of a dime. Okay. But I'm also a realist. I think I'm pretty realistic too in placing my book. Okay. I'm not just going to be reckless. Sometimes I like to be reckless, but I think I'm a realist more than I'm reckless. And so what does a year two jump look like? Okay. You look at Auburn's schedule and you look at what you have coming back. It's a really, really good schedule setup. This is one of the more manageable schedules that I can remember, maybe ever. Honestly, maybe ever. I mean, you have your first five games at home, and then each one of them seems to sort of build on the next. You know, you have obviously your quote-unquote cupcake game to sort of get everything started. And then you play a little bit tougher opponent. then you get to go back to the drawing board and fix some things. Then you have an SEC opponent, but it's not like a high-level tier SEC opponent. It's a pre-decimated SEC opponent, but it's still a step up in competition. So you have like a test. You have sort of a cleanup game. Then you have a test. Then you have another cleanup game, and then you have another test before you play your tougher SEC opponent. Your new Oklahoma, where you're going to have a ton of emotion. You really want to show them what the SEC is about. I think it could not set up better for Auburn to sort of build and sort of get ready to have that second year jump. And if you can start off 5-0, 9 wins is not off the table at all. Honestly, if you start off 5-0, 10 wins is not off the table. But I think a good start to the season and 9 wins would be an incredible jump, with a chance to win 10 in a bowl game would be incredible for the trajectory of the program, would be incredible for the fan base, and would be incredible for recruiting. If you start off 5-0, if you start off 4-0, you're going to hit, and you look good, especially on offense, you're going to start having some buzz, okay? And then Jordan Hare, whenever Oklahoma comes to town, is going to be absolutely electric. Even I wish it was a night game. I'm hoping by that time the sun's setting starting to set a little bit earlier. And it will be starting to set just a tad earlier, and you can at least get to those important crunch time moments under the lights where it's you know, rocking. I don't know. You look at all the different aspects of look at Hugh Freeze's resume, then you look at the year two quarterback's success that he's had when he's had a second year quarterback, and then you look at the schedule, and I really think Auburn is primed for a year two jump. And I think 8-9 wins is something you should almost expect. I really do. And I think depending on how you look in those, you feel really good about either one. It's been a while since Auburn's got to 8 wins with a chance to win 9 in a bowl game. It's been a while since Auburn's won 9 games. You have to go all the way back to 2019 to win 9 games and then have a chance to win 10 in a bowl game. I mean, it's just to go from 6-7 to increase your win total by 2 to 3 wins over in the course of one season. I think that's the goal, and I think it's very realistic. It's hard to the only way you just have to be. It's hard to be a real. It's hard to be realistic about things and see that's not a very likely scenario, a very likely ending scenario that Auburn ends up somewhere around 8-9 wins. I know the line is set 7.5. I love that line. I think eight's probably a realistic number, but I don't think 9's out of the question. And I'd be if Auburn can win 9 games and, you know, look good doing it. In year two, I'll be ecstatic, and I think that'll be the momentum slingshot to go ahead and build this thing up and be a really, really hot playoff contender in 2025. But I'm not saying it's out of the question this year. If the wide receiver talent is what we think it is, and they can develop quickly from a physical standpoint, they're ready. If they can develop quickly, and you can put some piece, you know, get them the ball, you know, how they need to get the ball, and the offensive line gels, and then you just get a little bit of defensive help. I mean, it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me. Those two road games are daunting to Tuscaloosa and to Georgia. Those two road games are very daunting, and the road game to Missouri is very daunting based off of the year they had last year. But I mean, if you can win one of those three and then obviously win the rest of your home games, you're there. You know, you're right there at 9-10 wins. So it's very, very doable. And Hugh Freeze has proven that in year two, he can do it. He's proven that in year two, he can make a jump. He's basically never not made a jump in year two. And I think Auburn's sort of primed, has a lot of pieces in place to be able to make that jump as well. So I think it's something to get excited about. It's SEC Media Days week. Auburn goes up tomorrow. Hugh Freeze, Peyton Thorne, those guys, they go up tomorrow, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions similar to this asked. You know, you've had success in year two. What are you expecting in year two at Auburn? You've had some success at year two at other stops. What are you expecting this year? What are your expectations? Is it, you know, are you just trying to get, you know, one game better, or do you see a pathway to get, you know, two, three games better, four games better? What do you feel about how you've built the team so far? I love to hear some answers to questions similar to that, and I hope obviously they get asked. So anyway, I think it's fun to think about. It's fun to understand where we've come from and where we're going. And I think if on the trajectory we're going in the era that we're going, I think we have the perfect guy who's done it at every stop he's been at, being able to have those quick turnarounds. And I think Auburn is primed to do that as well. So guys, I really appreciate it. We're going to be back again tomorrow getting after it. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Click that little bell so you're alerted. I think we've kind of hit that little sweet spot of premiere times, and but still, you never know. There could be a surprise live episode. There could be a surprise announcement episode on a weekend or something like that. And you want to be, make sure you're notified for when that goes up. So hit that bell under the subscribe button. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5, and we're going to get after it every single day. We're going to diagnose it. We're going to break it down like no one else. So get in here and let's get after it. Get in the comments. Tell me what you think about it. Tell me if you think I'm crazy. Tell me if you think you're not expecting it or you are expecting it. And let's hash it out. Let's absolutely hash it out. So I really appreciate you guys listening. We'll be back again tomorrow. This is another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.